me begin with two questions. If you did not know the Ten Commandments, how would you answer this question? What would you put in a list of the 10 most important rules for righteous living? God has given us 10. Would you have included number 4, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? Would you have included number 5, honor your father and your mother? Think about it. Second question. What would you do if I asked you to compose a very short, ideal prayer that even little children could memorize and adults can keep studying as an example of prayer? Now, if you didn't know the Lord's Prayer, I wonder what you would do. Would you have included the line that's in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us"? How would you write an ideal prayer? With that in mind, please open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 11. And here we find where Luke records Jesus giving the Lord's Prayer, evidently on a second occasion. He did it earlier in Matthew 6, one or two slight variations between the way that it's recorded in Matthew and Luke. But we're going through Luke chapter by chapter, paragraph by paragraph, and we've come to 11:4. "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us." In verse 3, Jesus said, "Give us our daily bread." Now he says, "Forgive us our sins. Give us forgiveness." Verse 3, we're told to pray for daily bread, and here we're told to pray for daily forgiveness. Now, in this version, it says, "Forgive us our sins." Over in Matthew, it's debts and trespasses. And we also read from Matthew 18, where it says trespasses. In other words, all kinds of sins, transgressions, iniquities, sins of omission, sins of commission. Sins, and specifically we're told over in Matthew, debts. It says here, those that are indebted to us. When we sin against God, we owe something. We owe him our obedience, but if we disobey, we owe it to him to be punished. You see, sins are, we're breaking God's laws. That makes us criminals against God. We deserve to be punished. So we say, "Lord, forgive us these things." We're told to forgive us our trespasses. Maybe you've gone out in the country somewhere and seen a sign, "No trespassing. Don't go where you're not supposed to go." A trespass against God is when we do what we're not supposed to do. And God says, "Don't do it." If we do it, we are guilty of trespassing. Ladies and gentlemen, we've committed sins against God. Old sins, new sins. Bible talks about sins of the mind, but also sins of the body. Sexual immorality, for example. Sins of the mind where we hate somebody. Sins of the heart. Lust, greed, stealing. And the list goes on and on and on. It's an evil catalog. And so we're told here to confess them and say, "Lord, forgive us our sins. Forgive us all of our sins." And we're told to do that. And we should be specific, not just in a general way. "Well, everybody's guilty. Lord, forgive me sins in general." Let's be specific when we come to God and say, "Lord, forgive me this sin." At the end of the day, before you go to sleep, say, "Lord, search my memory, touch my conscience. Are there any sins that I have not yet confessed to you and repented of? Forgive me those sins." Now, here's the first theological problem on this. We should not take this for granted and say, well, of course God will forgive it. You know, they asked a man, a German philosopher, about 150 years ago, "How can God forgive sins?" He says, "It's easy. That's God's business." And he said it in a very trite way. But look at the problem here. God is holy. He is righteous. He is angry against sin. He does not sweep it under the carpet. How can a righteous, holy God forgive even one sin? let alone all the thousands of sins that we have committed beyond number in our life. How can God do it? Now, that's the state of the question. He just doesn't blink at it and overlook it. God has to forgive sins in a way that's in keeping with his holiness and his righteousness. How can God do that? Well, I want to show you two verses that explain how. So keep your hand in Luke. Turn over to the little book of 1 John toward the end of the New Testament. And we're told here that God does forgive us our sins legally and in keeping with his perfect righteousness. You could also say in his wisdom as well as in his love. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, that means righteous, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God can legally and righteously and justly forgive our sins. You might say, can you give me a little bit more explanation? For example, just, righteousness. You go to a court of law, they're going to bring out the law books and say, justice demands that this law be kept, and if it's been broken, then the criminal needs to be punished. How can God justly forgive us our sins? Look over at chapter 2 now. Verse 12, John says, I write to you, little children, because, now don't miss this, your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. In other words, for the sake of Jesus Christ. That's it. God can forgive us because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Yes, God is holy and will punish sin. He must punish sin. But he punished the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. Our sins were laid upon him. That's how God can forgive sins. That's the only way God can forgive sins. If Christ had not died, there could be no forgiveness of sins. It says in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission or forgiveness of sins. Look upon it like this. Christ gave his life for us so that God can now forgive us our sins. That's it. That's the heart of Christianity. And if you miss that, you've missed it all, and you do not know forgiveness. Now, the Bible says God is a forgiving God. He is willing to forgive us. Nehemiah 9:17 says, you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful. Psalm 86:5, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive. He is ready, willing, and able to forgive us our sins. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer, Lord, forgive us our sins, it's not like we have to cajole God or bribe God or maybe say 100 prayers on our knees, counting beads like the rosary, or that we have to earn forgiveness. Think of it like this, brethren. God is more eager to forgive us than we are to repent and ask for forgiveness. He is willing and ready and able to forgive us. Now, we pray this prayer to God and to God alone. We don't ask the angels to forgive us or the saints in heaven. As we shall see in the second part of this prayer, we need to ask another person's forgiveness if we've sinned against that person. But ultimately, both that person and we need to go to God and say, Lord, forgive us our sins. Only God can forgive sins. Why? Because he is the one that we have sinned against. Only God can forgive sins. Now, you remember when Jesus once healed a man, he says, my son, your sins are forgiven you. And the Pharisees said, who can forgive sins but God only? This man's blaspheming. They were half right and half wrong. Only God can forgive sins, but they missed it. Jesus is God in the flesh forgiving sins. They've missed it. Do you miss it? Or do you get it? And do you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, you are God, you are man, please forgive me my sins. Only God can forgive our sins. Let me illustrate this with a story. This was 200 years ago, and France was at war with one of its many enemies, and they were in battle. And then there was a slight delay in the hostilities, and late one night, a young lieutenant was burdened down with his debts. He was a gambler, and he had gambled so much he had a stack of IOUs and debts. It would take him years to pay it off. And he is saying, I could never pay this off. I'm just a lowly lieutenant. And he counts it all up and he begins to weep. And he says, I could never begin to pay this all. And they're due tomorrow. I will be put to public disgrace. I'll be court-martialed out of the army. My family will disown me, and I'll go to debtor's prison for the rest of my life. And he looked at all this, and he took out a piece of paper, and he wrote the words, "Who can pay?" And he thought the only hope was to take his own life. So he put the little piece of paper on top of all the IOUs and the debts, and he lowered his pistol. But before he could take his life, he just broke down and wept. "Who can pay? Who can pay?" And he was so overcome in his grief that finally he just lost strength and he fell asleep with the pistol in his hand. That night, a visitor was walking through the camp and happened to go into the tent where the man was in front of the little table. And he read the note, looked at the IOUs, and he saw the lieutenant. And he grabbed the pen and he wrote down a little message on that little piece of paper. And then he walked out. And then later the lieutenant woke up. And he says, "Well, time to do the deed." And he happened to glance at the piece of paper. "Who can pay?" And he saw somebody had written a name on there. Napoleon. And he said, "That's the emperor. Is this a joke? What has happened?" So he took the piece of paper down to his commanding officer and he said, "Is this a joke?" He says, No, monsieur. The emperor has been in the camp and he went by your tent. He read your note and he wrote his name and he has left a large sum of money to pay off all of your debts, all of your IOUs. You are free. You are forgiven by the emperor. You have been honored, monsieur. Oh, mon ami, what an honor." And the soldier said, "What an emperor we have. I will love him and serve him the rest of my life." Now, do you see the illustration here? We owe more than we can ever pay. Have you ever tried counting up your sins? And then look at the doom that you're going to in eternal hell. And you say, "I can never make up for that." Who can pay? Jesus Christ can pay. He has paid on the cross for our sins, and on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done, God can legally and justly as well as lovingly forgive us all of our sins. That's the good news of the gospel. And like the man in the story, we should be overwhelmed with this and say, "I will follow this leader, the Lord Jesus Christ, and love him and serve him. It's an honor to be his follower." Who can pay? God can pay. Only God can forgive us our sins. Not a priest. Not yourself. Counselors, psychologists, pastors, we deal with people burdened with guilt. And I've had people weep saying, I know God can forgive me, but I can't forgive myself. Now, wait a second. The Bible never tells us to forgive ourselves. It's God that does the forgiving. And if we try to forgive ourselves, that's like picking ourselves up by our bootstraps, doing what we cannot do. Usually a person that says, "I cannot forgive myself," is burdened by the shame and the guilt of his sins, and he has not yet grasped the wonderful privilege that God forgives all of our sins and doesn't call upon us to do that. Only God can forgive us our sins. That's why Jesus said, "Pray, forgive us our sins." But notice the order. God forgives us because we have sinned against him. It is not the other way around. A few years ago, there was a controversy in Christian circles because a well-known teacher on the radio, who has done much good, but his name is James Dobson, and he kind of got carried away, and he was talking to a lady about forgiveness, and he says, "Now, I know you've been going through a lot in your burden and you're afflicted, but yes, God is behind this." And I tremble to say it, but he said, "You know, there's sometimes we just have to forgive God." And I heard about that and I said, "Forgive God? Mister, you ought to beg God's forgiveness for even saying such a thing." It's us that need to come to God and say, "Lord, forgive me." God is above sin. He doesn't need our forgiveness. We need his forgiveness. Now, this is part of salvation. We need to come to God with humble faith and true repentance. True repentance means we don't offer any excuses. We often say, "Well, Lord, forgive me. You know, everybody's doing it. I couldn't help it, or I didn't mean it." No excuses. We should come like a guilty criminal before the judge and throw ourselves on the mercy of the court. The other day in my daily devotions, I read the story in 1 Kings 20. Israel was at war, and some of their enemies knew they were defeated, and they said, "We're all going to die like dogs here when they capture us. Our only hope is if we go to the Israelite leaders, go before the king, and we come with sackcloth on us." And it says, "And if we come with ropes around our neck and beg for mercy, he just might forgive us and let us live." Evidently, this was an ancient custom in the Middle East that if you were leading someone out to be hanged, you'd put a rope around his neck because he was going to be hanged, kind of like carrying your own cross. They said, "We're going to do this showing we are guilty and we deserve to be punished, but we're going to beg forgiveness." And guess what? The king did forgive them and let them live. When we come to God, think about it. We should come with ropes around our necks and say, "Lord, I deserve to be punished. I deserve to be sent to hell. I am guilty. I have absolutely no excuses, no mitigating circumstances." And we come and say, "Lord, I deserve to be punished, but I am begging for mercy and forgiveness." Now, we don't come with penance. There's a difference between repentance and penance. Repentance means you feel the guilt, you change your mind, you turn from it. Penance is the Catholic sacrament that says you do a good work, you please the priest, maybe you say so many prayers, give so much money, and you do that good work and that will earn it. You cannot earn any of God's forgiveness. It's a free gift, and it's insulting to God to think you can earn it. But even in evangelical churches, we try doing this as believers. We say, "Oh, you can never earn salvation," but after we become Christians, we do some sin that we're embarrassed by. We feel the guilt of that. We feel dirty. And we'll come to God and say, "Lord, I'm sorry I did that. I won't do it again. I'll make up for that. I'll do something good. I'll start going to church more. I'll even go to Sunday school. I'll do these other things. Lord, I'll make up for it." Don't think like that. You can't make up for it. God made up for it at the cross. So even as Christians, when we come in repentance for our sins and say, "Lord, forgive us," we again point back to the cross and say, "Lord, continue to forgive me because of what Jesus did." And then there are those that have trouble praying this, "Lord, forgive me." Because some people are so burdened, they say, "I've sinned too far. I've done things that even God couldn't forgive." Now, we're not talking about the unforgivable sin. We'll get to that later in the next chapter in Luke. That's a rare sin, but some people will be, they'll feel the burden. Maybe they've done one special sin, a crime, for example, or some new immorality, and they feel particularly defiled by that, and they say, "Even God couldn't forgive me." Yes, God can forgive you. Look at the catalog of sins in the Bible that people have done. Look over in 1 Corinthians 6:11 where it says, "You were like this." He says, "You were thieves, you were homosexuals, you were murderers, but you have been justified, you have been washed." God can forgive any of your sins, all of your sins. And you can never say, "I have sinned too far that even God can't forgive me." You need to get a bigger view of the God you're talking about. Yes, God can forgive you. And brethren, when we look at this prayer, have you any idea how what a blessing this is that God forgives all of our sins? What if it was that God says, "I will forgive all of your sins except one"? You could be the richest person on earth. You could be richer than Bill Gates and Warren Buffett put together. What good is that if you've still got one unforgiven sin and you'll face God for that? God has to forgive them all. And God has forgiven us all of our sins through Christ Jesus. What a great blessing. That's better than riches, better than fame. Forgiveness of sins. That's why David said, Psalm 32:1, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Now here's the next question. When we look at the Lord's Prayer, is this a prayer for non-Christians or Christians? Well, in a sense, both, but there is a sense in which this is primarily for believers. So the question now is, should Christians continue to pray for forgiveness? Now, before you answer, think about it. We're told in Ephesians 1:7, we've already been forgiven. And so there are those that say, we've already been forgiven, we're saved. We dare not ask for more forgiveness. God has already forgiven us. Well, what do you do with the Lord's Prayer? And there are many other places where we find examples and commands that as believers, we are to pray, Father, forgive us. Why? The answer is so obvious. Because we still sin as Christians every day. You have not gone even 1 hour since the day of your spiritual rebirth that you have not sinned. And so we continue to say, Lord, forgive me. We're not praying for salvation afresh. That happens once and for all. But it's like when Jesus washed the apostles' feet. You remember 1 Peter said, No, Lord, don't wash my feet. I should be washing your feet. And he says, no, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, then you have no part in me. So Peter said, well, then wash me from head to toe. Give me a complete bath. And he says, no, Peter, you don't need a complete bath. You just need to wash your feet. And the illustration is this. When you were saved, you were washed from top to bottom in the blood of Christ. All of your sins are legally forgiven. But as we go walking through the world, we pick up sins. We sin. So we need to confess those day by day and ask the Lord to wash our feet, wash our hearts of the sins that we regularly commit. And there's another one like this. For example, sometimes as believers, there are some sins we don't want to let go of. We don't want to say, Lord, forgive me that sin. And after a while, the Lord will say, if you don't let go of that one, I'm going to chasten you like a parent that spanks a child. And we're under his chastening hand of love, but it smarts. And often it's related to one certain sin, and we begin to feel the sting, and maybe in our health, our finances, some problem. And in that way, we need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me that sin, give me repentance, so that now you will remove the affliction. This is what David thought of, Psalm 25:18. Look on my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sin. And brethren, the good news is God does forgive us our sins. Okay, let's look at the second part of this prayer now, back to Luke 11. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. God offers forgiveness to us, but he also commands us to forgive others. Now, the best verse to explain this, in my opinion, is over in Ephesians 4. Turn with me to this golden verse. I've had to quote this when I've spoken with married couples and couples to be married. Others, when mother and sister fall out with each other, this is a good verse worth memorizing. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Notice, as God forgave you, you forgive each other. It's a mutual thing. Husbands and wives, forgive each other. Brothers and sisters, are you listening, children? You forgive your brother or your sister and ask their forgiveness. It goes both ways. I frequently shared this with married couples and those thinking of being married. I said, now here are two golden rules for you. Write them down. Learn to apologize and learn to forgive. You got it? It's mutual. Forgiving one another. Why? Because you're both sinners. You are a sinner. You need to learn how to apologize to your husband, to your wife. You also need to learn how to forgive your spouse every day. And this was advice that my father gave. He says that we learn to apologize and to forgive every day. And then my dad added this. He says, son, once you realize that nobody is perfect, that makes it easier to apologize and to forgive someone. That's good advice. Now let me ask you another question. Which one is harder to do? To forgive or to ask for forgiveness? Sometimes it's harder to do one. Sometimes it's hard to apologize and mean it. Other times, it's harder to forgive somebody. So think about it. We need grace to do both of them. Now, how do we do this? How do we, for example, forgive somebody? Do you know how to forgive? Non-Christians do not really know how. Because to them, forgiving basically means saying something like, well, don't worry about it, it's no big thing. Or they find something that is a big thing and they can't forgive it. They don't know what forgiveness is because they've never enjoyed God's forgiveness. Do you know how to forgive somebody? Do you know how to offer someone's forgiveness sincerely? I was counseling a woman, and she had been divorced and never got over it, and I could tell she was still holding a grudge against that man. And I said, well, when you all were going through those problems, I said, did you ever offer forgiveness? And she looked at me like, what? And I said, did you ever offer to forgive him and really mean it? And she said, no, I've never heard of such a thing. And I said, and you're a Christian? And I quoted Ephesians 4:32. I said, did you ever offer it to him? No. Were you willing to forgive him? I don't think she was. What about us? Are we, like God, ready, willing, and able to forgive? Remember I said God is more willing to forgive us than we are to repent? Are we more willing to forgive that person that has injured us, that lied about us, gossiped about us, broken the Ten Commandments against us? Are we more willing to forgive that person than that person is to repent and ask for forgiveness? We should be like God, as it says here, as God in Christ has forgiven us. We're more prone to hold grudges than to truly forgive a person. And sometimes there's maybe one thing in particular. Maybe someone has done something to you, has wounded you, and you can't get over it, and you're holding that grudge, even as a Christian. I remember I was talking to a preacher friend of mine, a Baptist preacher. We're talking about forgiveness. He says, Kurt, I can forgive anybody anything except if they lied to me. I just can't forgive that. And I felt like saying, well, how has God forgiven you for your lies? But there are some things we don't want to let go of and forgive. And yet we say, oh, forgiveness, that's a wonderful thing. C.S. Lewis said, everyone says forgiveness is a wonderful thing until they have something to forgive. Then there's the person that says, I wouldn't forgive that person if he came crawling to me on hands and knees. You ever feel like that? I was listening to Christian radio once, and the person was talking to a woman, and she said, you know, that was my attitude for a while. My husband, he had beaten me, and he had cheated on me and ran off with another woman, left me with the kids, and I remember thinking I wouldn't forgive him if he came on crawling on hands and knees over broken glass weeping. And then that's just what he did. He showed up once at the doorstep knocking, and she opened the door, and he was on his hands and knees weeping, begging forgiveness. And she said, how can I forgive him? And she remembered, God has forgiven me. And she forgave him, and the marriage was healed. He was apologetic, and she was forgiving, forgiving one another. Now, then other people, their idea of forgiveness is, well, I'll forgive that person, not just after he apologized, but after he makes it up to me and after I punish him. Is that how God forgives us? No, no, no. God doesn't say, I'll forgive you after I whip you and I punish you so many times. No, you've missed it all. God forgives us after he has punished Christ for us. So when you extend forgiveness to somebody, you should ask and wait for them to be apologetic, but don't take it out on them as a condition of forgiving them. God didn't do that to us. Search your memory, brethren. May God touch your conscience. Is there someone that you have not yet forgiven? May have been years ago. Maybe someone said something, did something to you, stabbed you in the back at work, something. Anybody's name come to your memory? Anything in your conscience, and you say, I still can't get over that. I still haven't forgot that person. Is there anyone that you must apologize to? Even from a long time ago. God has a way of bringing these things to our memory and touch our conscience, and you say, years ago I did something. I don't know if he remembers it or not, but I still need to apologize. There's no statutes of limitations on apologies or forgiveness. Jesus said over in Matthew's gospel, when you come to bring your gift to God, if you remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift, go be reconciled to your friend, and then come back and offer it. I have known people that even at a communion service say, I can't take it. I'm still holding a grudge against someone, either I need to go to him and apologize, or I need to go to him and forgive. And he says, I can't eat or drink in a worthy way until I get this settled. And then they come back the next week and they say, it's been settled. You know, even psychologists see the need for forgiveness. Even ones that don't really believe in God say that so many of their patients, even in mental hospitals, are burdened with guilt and they need forgiveness. Years ago, I had a phone call from a woman that I knew before I was a Christian, and I hadn't heard from her in like 15 years, and she phoned me up, and I said, hello, and she said, well, Kurt, this is Claire. I said, Claire, where in the world are you? Well, I'm living out in San Francisco, got married, got kids. Well, good for you. Why are you phoning me? She says, Kurt, I've been struggling with some personal problems, and my therapist said I've got guilt, and I need to apologize to anybody that I've ever hurt. Kurt, years ago, I said something to you and then gossiped about you, and I still remember that. Would you forgive me? I'd totally forgotten about it, but it bothered her, and I said, Claire, you're forgiven. And then I went on to tell her more about Jesus. Now, it's up to us to convince that other person that you truly apologize and mean it, and it's also up to us to truly convince the person, I have forgiven you and I'm not going to hold it against you anymore. Don't bring it up again. Now, what if that other person doesn't apologize? How do we forgive if they don't apologize? Does God forgive us without confession and repentance? No. But God can give repentance. We can't. But we can offer it. We can plead with the person saying, I'm willing to forgive you. But what if the person still doesn't apologize? It's up to us, as it were, to keep the offer open, to keep it on the table and say, you may not have apologized, I'm praying for you, but when the time comes that you're willing to apologize, I will willingly, freely forgive you. So keep the offer open. We need to imitate Jesus. On the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And we need to learn to forgive and forget. The Bible says God does that. Now, again, as a pastor, I've spoken with people, and they say, well, I can forgive that person, but I just can't forget it. Usually counselors know that when a person says that, that means that they really haven't forgiven the person. We should be able to say, I have forgiven the person, and I will remember that I have forgiven the person so that if I'm ever tempted to hold it against him, I will remember I have forgiven that person. Years ago, there was a song that said, I forgot to remember to forget. And it should be rephrased, I forgot to remember that I have forgiven that person. Once you've forgiven a person, don't drag it up and use it against that person again. Does God do that with us? Does he say, yes, I forgave you. You're a Christian. But if you sin one too many times, I'm going to throw you back and I'm going to bring up your old sins again. God doesn't do that with us. Forgive as God has forgiven us. Now, I don't want to have a stream of people coming to me later and saying, but Pastor, it's different with me. You don't know what somebody has done to me. No, I don't know. But I know that we're guilty against God, and God commands us in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. Yes, there are hard cases. You remember Joseph forgave his brothers. They sold him into slavery and they wanted to kill him, but he freely forgave them. Let me give you another illustration of this. This was shortly after World War II. And you know that in World War II, those evil, despicable Nazi SS did horrendous crimes against the Jews and others in the concentration camps. They brutally murdered 6 million Jews and gypsies and others. You'd say that's beyond forgiveness. After the war, two interesting things happened. Shortly after the war, one of these Nazi SS members in the camps was in a hospital dying, and he was burdened by the guilt of what he had done. And so he asked the doctors, he says, I can't die with this guilty conscience of what I did in those camps against the Jews. He says, bring me a Jew so that I can confess this to him and he can forgive me on behalf of the Jews. And they found a Jew who later became world famous. And I respect the man. He has written books against anti-Semitism, very famous. But as a young man, he had survived the Holocaust. And he came in there and the doctor says, this man's going to die and he wants to confess this to a Jew. Talk to the man. And the man said, as I heard this SS man confess all this and begging forgiveness from the Jews, he says, I couldn't forgive him. He says he had done such a wicked thing against me, my family had died in the camps, and against my race. I just couldn't forgive him. And he began to rationalize it. The Almighty will understand. He can forgive, but I can't forgive. The SS man died. A few years later, another confrontation happened. And some of you have heard about Corrie ten Boom. She was a Christian in the Netherlands, and she and her family hid Jews from the Nazis. And then they were caught, and the Jews were shipped off and exterminated. But Corrie's family were also sent off to concentration camps. Her parents died there. Her sister and her were sent to Ravensbrück. The sister died, and by a strange twist of God's providence, Corrie survived it. Years after World War II, Corrie ten Boom, very godly woman, was speaking to her Christian audience, and afterwards a man walked up and she said, as he was walking to me, the blood in my veins turned to ice. I recognized he was one of the SS guards at Ravensbrück. He was one that had the horse whips that would whip women and beat them and throw them in the gas fires. And he was coming up to me. And he came up and said, I recognize you, young woman. You were one of the women in Ravensbrück. I have a guilty conscience. Can you ever forgive me? And can God forgive me? And Corrie said it was hard to do. My parents, my sister had died in the concentration camps. And this man had been guilty of killing hundreds of women in Ravensbrück. How could I do it? And she said, I remembered what Christ had done. God had forgiven me all of my sins. How could I withhold my forgiveness from him, knowing God has forgiven me far more? So she said to him, I forgive you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need to seek his forgiveness. And she shared with him the gospel. That's a good example. Yes, it's hard to forgive, and only by the grace of God can we forgive somebody. May God's Holy Spirit help us to forgive. Now in Matthew's gospel, Jesus went on to say in chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, if you forgive others, God will forgive you. If you do not, God will not forgive you. This does not mean that our forgiving others earns God's forgiveness, but put it like this. If we have an unforgiving attitude, that shows we have an unforgiving heart. You got it? If we're not willing to forgive someone else, we don't appreciate forgiveness. That shows we don't have repentance toward God. That's how important it really is. You remember the story that Brandon read earlier, Matthew 18. A man owed an enormous debt to the master. And you look at the Greek, you find out he couldn't pay that off in 100 years if he was the richest man in the world. But it says that the master freely forgave him. But then he went out and there was another man that owed him an amount of money that could be paid off maybe in a couple of months. And he wouldn't forgive him. What did the master do? He says, you ingrate. I forgave you so much and you won't forgive this other person? So he had the man punished. Think about it. The great godly John Wesley was preaching on forgiveness, and afterwards he met a general in the English army, and the general very proudly says, sir, I never forgive. And Wesley very wisely said, well, sir, I hope you never sin. How do we conclude? We should be praying, Lord, forgive us our sins. Lord, forgive me. I'm the guilty one. And Lord, help me to forgive anybody that has ever sinned against me. By God's grace, may that prayer be answered. Let us pray. Father, teach us the importance of forgiveness. Help us to appreciate your total free forgiveness. Give us the grace to have the repentance and the faith to beg for your forgiveness for salvation, and then to keep thanking you and asking you for forgiveness every day, because we sin every day. Forgive us, Lord, our sins, and help us to forgive others, and also to ask forgiveness from others. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, amen.